Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today we have Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi, the hosts of the TV show and podcast Throwing Shade. They also stick around for more questions backstage. But first, a closer look.
This week, we've seen Donald Trump's latest travel ban blocked yet again by a judge, his health care bill start to fall apart, and his wiretapping claims debunked. And now, on top of all that, he unveiled a drastic new budget plan that slashes anti-poverty programs. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump headed back out onto the campaign trail last night for his second official campaign event as president, holding a rally in Tennessee. What was Trump so pumped about? Maybe it's all the good news he's been getting this week on some of his biggest priorities.
The Trump administration and his priorities are under assault tonight. The president is facing a potential loss on health care.
A poll from Fox News finds that only 35% approve of President Trump's handling of health care.
Today, members of President Trump's own party are openly challenging his claim that Trump Tower had been wiretapped under the orders of President Barack Obama.
Breaking news, a federal judge has just put a temporary halt to President Trump's new travel ban.
We're going to win so much, you are going to get so sick and tired of winning.
Are you sick of winning yet? Because if you are, you better get to the doctor before Trump takes away your health care. So, Trump keeps on stumbling on everything, from health care to immigration to his wiretapping claims, and yet Trump keeps insisting that he's getting so much done.
We're keeping our promises. In fact, they have signs. He's kept his promise. They're all over the place. I have. We have done far more, I think maybe more than anybody's done in this office in 50 days, that I can tell you.
Trump has done more in office the way a toddler helps out in the kitchen. He may be trying, but by the time he leaves, there's snot on the fridge and a shoe in the dishwasher. Of course, rather than explain to his supporters how he plans to move forward on the travel ban or health care, Trump once again attacked the media. In fact, at one point during his rally, after the crowd booed the mention of Obamacare, Trump concocted an elaborate fantasy about how the media would report on the incident.
At the very core of Obamacare was a fatal flaw. The government forcing people to buy a government approved product. There are very few people. Very few people. And by the way, watch what happens. Now, you just booed Obamacare. They will say Trump got booed when he mentioned. They're bad people, folks. They're bad people. Tonight, I'll go home, I'll turn on, I'll say, listen, I'll turn on that television. My wife will say, darling, it's too bad you got booed.
The craziest part of that fantasy is that he thinks when he goes home to the White House, his wife will be there. She lives in New York, bro.
Are you coming to D.C. this week? No, it's crazy. All the flights are booked.
In fact, Trump's complaints and paranoia about his bad press have now become almost incoherent. Last night, he gave an interview to Fox News and complained about how the positive reviews to his speech to Congress 2 weeks ago were followed by more bad stories. See if you can make sense of anything he's saying here.
That speech was hot for about 2 or 3 hours after the speech was made because they came up with other things having to do with other people that they shouldn't have been able to do and they shouldn't have done. But they did it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No. No one knows what you're talking about. You're so paranoid about wiretapping that you talk like a mafia don afraid the feds are listening. Someone did something he wasn't supposed to do, so some people had to do a thing to him to make sure no one ever else does that thing again. I'll see you at the place. Come here. Trump also complained. He complained that it was difficult to get things done in Washington because the political climate has become so toxic.
We're never going to get a Democrat vote. They're never going to vote for us because they hate the Republicans, probably hate me.
Probably? No, dude, they hate you. Have you seen the protests? They hate you so much they're willing to spend free weekends in the airport. So Trump complained about the hatred of the current political climate, and then on the same night at his rally in Tennessee, as he defended his travel ban, he lapsed into one of his favorite routines from the campaign, bashing Hillary Clinton.
The law and the Constitution give the president the power to suspend immigration when he deems, or she. Fortunately, it will not be Hillary she.
Wow, you guys are still doing Lock Her Up. But hey, I get it. When you go see Billy Joel, you want to hear Piano Man. Also, she lives in the woods now. Locking her up would be an upgrade. Ooh, a roof. So Trump keeps losing, and yet he still doesn't seem to understand why he keeps losing. Take the travel ban, for example. Yesterday at his rally, Trump read the law aloud to his supporters and insisted that anyone could understand it, even the people in the audience who he said weren't that smart.
Can I read this to you? Listen to this. Now, we're all smart people. We're all good students. We're all everything. Some are bad students. But even if you're a bad student, this is a real easy one, let me tell you.
I love how Trump is willing to go in front of his voters and tell them, some of you are idiots. It reminds me of the famous quote from John F. Kennedy.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And if you're too stupid to understand that, ask a friend what I meant, and then ask yourself why you're so dumb. And if you can't answer that, you're an idiot.
So the prospects for Trump's travel ban going forward don't seem great. And then there's this health care bill. It's widely unpopular in polls and facing higher odds of defeat in Congress. In fact, at his rally yesterday, it almost seemed as though Trump regretted trying to repeal Obamacare, expressing a desire to focus on tax reform instead.
I want to get to taxes. I want to cut the hell out of taxes. But, before I can do that, I would have loved to have put it first, I'll be honest. I want to start that process so quickly. Got to get the health care done. We got to start the tax reductions.
What is that hand motion? Is he talking about tax reform or landing an airplane?
We got to get the taxes down by bringing the right and the left together, or else we're going to go backwards.
So that raises the question, why is Trump dealing with Obamacare before tax reform? On Fox News, he offered an explanation in the form of one of his trademark conspiracy theories. He claimed President Obama intentionally designed Obamacare to fall apart in 2017 because he would no longer be in office.
Obamacare is a disaster. And by the way, this year will be the worst year of all. And I said the other day, they criticized me. I said, look, Obama's gone. Smart guy. He put things on. 17 is going to be the worst year because he's gone. He knew that was the year. I mean, you know, let him be out before it implodes.
You think Obama intentionally designed his signature piece of legislation to fall apart in 6 years? It's a health care bill, not a Kia. Trump's replacement bill is facing opposition in part because it disproportionately impacts older rural voters, the same voters who backed Trump in the election. In fact, when he was asked yesterday about the fact that he was hurting his own voters, Trump literally just admitted it and said, I know.
A Bloomberg analysis showed that counties that voted for you, middle class and working class counties, would do far less well under this bill than the counties that voted for Hillary, the more affluent counties.
I know.
Yeah, I know. For any other president, that would be a smoking gun. For him, it's just a guy smoking.
Yeah, I know.
So Trump had his travel ban blocked, his health care bill is collapsing, and members of his own party say there's no proof for his wiretapping claim. How could Trump possibly make things worse for himself? Well, today, he unveiled a budget blueprint that proposes drastic cuts to almost every federal agency, including the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Endowment for the Arts, and a community development block grant that funds, among other things, Meals on Wheels. And hey, Donald Trump, I understand you won. And because you won, you get to suggest cuts to the budget. Cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency? Saw that coming. The only environments you care for are fairways and greens and that endangered marshland you call a haircut. Cuts to the National Endowment for the Arts? Again, not surprised. The only art you like are paintings of yourself where they take out the neck fat. But Meals on Wheels? Meals on Wheels? How dead inside do you have to be to not want old people to get food? Your heart is so small, it makes your tiny hands look like catcher mitts. Old people voted for you. Your key demographics were old people and older people. They believed you when you said you cared about them. There's nothing more lowlife than lying to the elderly. You should know that. You're 70. Don't you hate it when people lie to you and say things like, I'll try to make it down next week. It's just, I'm on kayak and there are just no flights. This has been A Closer Look.
Hi, this is Fred Armisen, the music director of the HG Band. Did you know that Late Night with Seth Meyers has a podcast now? That's what this is. And it's released every Wednesday and Friday. Tell your friends who love Late Night that they should subscribe at iTunes.com/Late Night Seth. You'll find it. What I just said, you'll be able to find it. I believe in you.
Our guests are two very funny comedians who are the hosts of the TV Land series Throwing Shade. The season finale airs Tuesday night. Please welcome to the show, Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi, everybody. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you.
You have been doing this as a podcast for 6 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
And so Throwing Shade, for those who don't know, explain what you mean by throwing shade.
Well, it came from this documentary called Paris is Burning about drag culture, and it's essentially just like talking trash in an artful way.
Okay.
So we use that to talk about issues affecting women, LGBT, and treat those issues with very little respect.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
And you, now, so you mentioned women issues and gay issues are sort of what you guys focus on. What are some of the issues that you've talked about, and how have you talked about them?
Well, so there was this trend that happened in television last year where, like, 1 or 2% of characters on television are lesbians, but they accounted for 10% of the deaths on television.
Gotcha.
It was called Bury Your Gays. That was what the trend was called. So we basically, yeah. It's insane. So we basically looked at that trend and looked at the new lineup for like a CW type network. And basically anytime a character announces she's a lesbian, a chandelier just falls on her.
Okay.
So at the gym, at a concert, at dinner, it doesn't matter.
At a chandelier store.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Well that.
You saw it coming.
You saw it coming, yeah. And you have a segment on your show called Local Dicks, Aaron?
Yes.
So what is Local Dicks?
Yeah. Okay. So we're all, like, very paralyzed by what's happening on a national level, but there are people in your backyard who are out to get you. And so we kind of shine a spotlight on these people and show you what a dick they are. But what's cool about it is, because what's cool about dicks is...
Oh, so much.
No, I mean, it's these people win by such small margins, so we basically present you with a problem and say, all you have to do is vote, and they could be gone.
Got it. So you go after sort of local politicians mm-hmm. who are doing terrible things.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody either, when you've talked about them in a positive way or a negative way, has anybody ever reached out to you guys?
Yes. So
Jackie Speier.
Yeah, Jackie Speier, the United States Congresswoman, Senator, reached out to us because we have a segment called You Heard of This Bitch, where we... praise. We basically are just, we praise women who deserve it. And okay. Jackie Speier, first of all, like, survived Jonestown.
Was shot. And then she was like, I'll get into politics.
Yeah. Let's talk about gun control next. So we did a You Heard of This Bitch about her, because everyone should hear of her.
Yeah.
And she followed us on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Which is sort
endorsement.
Of like an endorsement, but a secret one. Yeah.
So, but no. So you've gotten one. You heard of this bitch, but no local dicks up to this
point.
No,
I don't know if they, because it's a lot of work to like plug in your modem, unplug the fat.
Yeah,
I feel like the local
right.
dicks are still doing like
get a new AOL
base
CD.
Level, yeah, ISDN lines.
One thing you guys are obsessed with, and I was not even aware of until you brought it to my attention, is Karen Pence, Vice President Mike Pence's wife. has a line of, what is it that she sells?
Towel charms.
This is real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, totally. It's like wine charms that you put on your pool towel, because she was like, you know that problem everyone has where you have to walk all the way up to your house for a beverage and you come back and someone stole your towel, and the world was like, absolutely not.
I don't live on acreages.
No. Yeah. So she registered 22 or 23 domains about towel charms in a paranoid frenzy that someone
like
else...
box wine all over the floor, just like, I gotta get them all!
That, like, Deborah was gonna take them. So there's all
it's
these...
Like it's mytowelcharm.com, mytowelcharm.net, all of them. All of them.
One of them is grammatically incorrect. It's that's my towel charms. Which is like saying these is charms. Like, it just doesn't work. So we saw an opportunity...
to jump on that business.
So we registered KarenPenceTowelCharmers.com.
Okay. Yeah.
Along with...
Make America Towel Charms Again.
Yep. And Aaron and Brian Invented Towel Charms, not KarenPence.com.
Yes. Oh, that was available.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And those all go to, if you go on those sites, they actually exist, and you can help the ACLU or Planned Parenthood. But
that's
you go
fantastic.
There. Yeah.
Aaron, I want to ask about this. So
The
Trump campaign sent out basically an email, and they asked people to tell their Obamacare story. They wanted, obviously, what they were looking for were people to tell negative stories about Obamacare that they would share.
Yeah.
You filled this in. It's very hard to read, so why don't you just, I'll hold it up, and you read. This is something you actually wrote.
Can I say this word?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, Obama saved my from the GOP. She was under attack, and he protected her from harm. Her name is Krathy Von Strutten, in case anyone cares, but I bet you don't.
Good, there you go. And it backfired a little bit.
I'm on some crazy mailing list now where they're like, do you like white socialists? I'm like, no!
We didn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Brian was on the list.
Yeah. And then you have a shade list, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is sort of just a roundup of things that you feel deserve shade.
Yes.
It's more of like a lighter take on stuff we don't like.
Yeah, yeah. The Beauty and the Beast movie is coming out, and I will always side with Angela Lansbury in any matter.
Sure.
But she sort of came down against it,
okay.
So I'm against it. Also, they talked about that exclusively gay moment they were going to have in that movie, which to me sounds like a Mariah Carey fragrance. Just exclusively gay moment. I loved it. So
what is an exclusively gay moment?
I don't know. I had one this morning.
Okay, good. But I bet that's not in the movie.
I don't think that's going to be in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Also, we don't like hand sanitizer.
Well, it makes you smell like an alcoholic without the benefits of being an alcoholic.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's basically the GOP, their healthcare plan is hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
That's in a nutshell.
Congrats on the show, guys. I'm very happy you're doing it. You're both really unique comic voices, and we're very lucky to have you. Give it up for these two, you guys.
Yeah.
Aaron Gibson and Brian Sophie, everybody. The season finale of Throwing Shade is Tuesday night on TV Land, and the Throwing Shade podcast is available on iTunes.
Hey, this is Kevin, one of the producers here at Late Night. I'm backstage with Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi. We're in the dressing room here, and we just wanted to ask you a couple additional questions. So kind of tell us your history, where you guys met and how you started working together.
Yeah, we met
we
at UCB.
Married. Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
We were. We met on Tinder. We met it at UCB forever ago, and then worked at Funny or Die together and worked on a tiny show on a tiny network called Current TV together.
Al Gore's old network.
Yeah. Right. And then we started doing the podcast right after that, and we sort of wanted to talk about social issues in a very uncensored, loose way. And
then we started making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, we should maybe see if we can do a television show.
It was the long road that took like 7 years. But yeah. So that's how we met and fell in love.
And you guys have...
Also, I lived with Brian for like 6 weeks when I got divorced.
That's when we got
You did, yeah.
I did get divorced, and Brian took me in like a sad, wet dog.
Yes.
And taught me how to watch Ina Garten.
Which was just turning on the TV. And we had tamales together.
But I feel that's when I really got to know you.
That's right.
Yeah, when we shared a bathroom.
Yeah.
On Instagram, you post, there's kind of a bit about the Whole Foods pasta section.
Can I tell you something? We're obsessed with Whole Foods. And I know this is like the bougiest
disgusting.
Thing anybody can talk about. Yeah. But they're in LA, the people who go to Whole Foods are pure monsters.
Uh-huh.
Like ravenous assholes just like out for their
like
own.
Like fully doing yoga in the aisles. Like no joke.
There was a woman once who was like asked the person behind the deli counter, do you have European gluten? Because I can't have American gluten. And I was like, I'm going to kick you in the face. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I always post pictures of what's happening at Whole Foods because it's either something like, it looked like a full raccoon family had gone through the pasta aisle and everything was like haphazard, turned over, broken. It looked like a band of thieves had been in there. It's, if you go to LA, go straight to Whole Foods if you want a show.
Yeah, sure.
Do you guys cook together at all?
No.
No, and it's really...
We cooked for each other before.
Yes, I made Brian an olive oil cake for his birthday.
Maybe I haven't made you anything.
You haven't. Wait, you keep saying you're going to bring me some of your baked goods, but then you throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You made a carrot cake recently, right? And what happened with that?
Well, I have to do the full Sex in the City routine, which is like take two bites, pour dishwashing soap all over it. Because really... It's all the baking process. That's the meditative part. The rest is just desserts.
That's funny. Well, you know what it is? No, I mean, no one could see what you just did, but Brian and I are both ex-smokers, so I feel like there's a thing, there's a smoke, like people
keeps your hands busy.
Keeps your hands busy, so when you don't have smoking and you've got baked goods in the house, buy waistline, you know what I mean?
Was there a time in the past few months where you guys actually had a cigarette? You're both.
Yes, when Trump election got elected.
Night. Yeah, election night, I had one. Yeah. It was the first time in
did
like
you smoke?
3 years.
I did not. No,
yeah. I wondered if it would drive people who are non-smokers to smoke on that night. And the answer is no, obviously.
Did you drink that night?
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
The saddest was there were these two girls dressed as suffragettes at this bar we were all at. And just watching their faces as the hours passed was the saddest thing. It was sadder than watching Trump win, is watching these two women in white... cry.
Yeah.
But then I offered him a cigarette and they were like, you're a monster. No, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And the season
finale.
Tuesday
night, 10:30 Central on TV Land. Right after Andy Griffith. That's not true. But right before King of Queens.
Oh, perfect.
We lead
right into King of Queens rerun.
Yeah. Right. And but those people who watch that show fucking hate us.
If you have a free hour and you like women's issues, gay issues, and Kevin James, we have the block
for you.
There's a weird Venn diagram that has all of those interests together.
Four people.
Yes.
And I think Leah Remini would be on it.
Yeah, she would be. She'd be the crossover. Right. That's true.
Right. You guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
Kevin.
Thank you.
Come back soon.
We'd love
anytime.
To.
Anytime.
Okay, thanks.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.